This is Everyday Bioethics. In this episode, Paige Cunningham, Executive Director of the Center for Bioethics and Human Dignity, explores PET scans and diagnosis of brain injuries. And now here's Paige.
In some cases, the risk of a misdiagnosis is not too serious. But when it comes to brain injuries, the risk of an incorrect diagnosis could mean the difference between dying or living, or the difference between the labels vegetative state and minimally conscious. We want our doctors to always be right. As patients, we want an exact diagnosis, a 100% effective treatment, and certainty about how long we'll be sick. But medical diagnosis depends on a variety of factors, including the reliability of tests. Predicting the length and seriousness of a disease is an inexact science. An article in the British Medical Journal points out that no tool exists for quantifying the extent of consciousness. But vegetative state means the patient has no consciousness. She is completely unaware. The diagnosis is based on a detailed clinical history and careful observation of the patient who is exhibiting wakefulness but not awareness. This assumes that someone is conscious if they can indicate that they are aware. It's possible that as many as 40% of patients who are diagnosed in a vegetative state actually do have some degree of awareness. Misdiagnosis has implications for managing the patient's day-to-day care, how aggressively to intervene in the early days, and even how to talk in front of the patient. EEG scans may indicate signs of consciousness in a patient previously diagnosed as being in a vegetative state, but a brand new study has shown that even EEGs can miss signs of consciousness. 126 patients with brain injuries, including unresponsive wakefulness syndrome, that's another term for vegetative state, were examined using PET scans and functional MRIs, as well as clinical observations. 12 months later, the patients were re-examined. Surprisingly, about one-third of them showed brain activity with the presence of some consciousness, and 9 of them recovered a reasonable level of consciousness. These are patients who might otherwise have missed out on beneficial care, such as pain relief, physical and occupational therapy, and learning how to communicate with the patient. Neurological specialists might not have visited them. In the worst case, medical treatment, including their feeding tube, could have been withdrawn. There are several important lessons here. First, medical diagnoses are not infallible. Doctors can be wrong. This warrants humility and caution, especially about diagnoses that affect life and death decisions. Second, science and technology continue to advance, opening up more insights into the mysteries of the brain. That, too, calls for humility and caution about what we know now. Our best assessments can be based on incomplete information or even flawed assumptions, things revealed by later discoveries. And finally, the PET scan study I mentioned is a small one, and it needs to be repeated, but it is encouraging. Don't expect perfection from your doctor. And remember, even technology has its limits. Helping you understand tomorrow's bioethical issues today, this is Paige Cunningham.
Helping us to understand tomorrow's bioethical issues today, Everyday Bioethics is a production of the Center for Bioethics and Human Dignity, a Christian bioethics research center at Trinity International University. For more information, visit our website at everydaybioethics.org. And thanks for listening.